Can we bow our heads as we pray? In Jesus' name, Father, Lord in heaven, we want to thank you for another day in your presence, another opportunity to gather to hear from you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you give me the grace to deliver your word and help me to be simple, just as Jesus would be when he was teaching here on earth. And Father in heaven, I ask that you open our hearts to receive your word and help us to be doers of your word. For in Jesus' name I've prayed. Amen. So today I want to talk on a topic that says, who is a Christian? And as we all know, today is a baptism service, and Peter will be baptized, and this is like a way of telling the public that I am now a Christian. And what has happened to Peter is something that it's in the heart, but the baptism is just a way of declaring it, that I am now a follower of Jesus Christ. And most times when people say Jesus Christ, that call us Christians, that we are followers of Jesus Christ, we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, they will always use Jesus and Christ, like Christ is the surname of Jesus. But if we look at the Bible, it is not. I'm going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 36. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So we can see that Jesus, from the way it is used here in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, it is used separately. Like, you can see a clear distinction between Jesus and Christ. It's saying that that Jesus whom you crucified, God has made him Christ. So now I want us to look at who Jesus is before we come to look at Christ, because as Christians, we are followers of Jesus Christ. And it is very important that as Christians, we have a good understanding of who Christ is before we claim to be the followers of Jesus Christ. So when we say Jesus, Jesus is just the name of a person. Like, we have Jesus Christ that was born in Bethlehem to Mary and Joseph, and he later lived in Nazareth. So we can have anybody answer the name Jesus. Even in the Bible, we had another Jesus called Bar Jesus. And in contemporary times, many people answer the name Jesus. I heard of a footballer that answers the name Gabriel Jesus. So Jesus is just a name that anyone can answer. And so many people, their understanding of the Jesus we are following just stops at this name. But I tell you the truth, it's not going to profit you if you just only know Jesus by everything, by just what I explained now. Because, for instance, if we look at the woman that met Jesus at the wellside, the Samaritan woman, when she met Jesus, the first knowledge of Jesus she had was a Jew. She said, Jews and Samaritans do not have anything in common, so why do you come to me to ask for water? And after some time, she perceived Jesus as a prophet. And today, there are so many other religions that see Jesus as a prophet, but we Christians, we do not see Jesus as just a prophet. As she spent more time chatting with Jesus, she came to the knowledge of Jesus as Christ, and that was what transformed her life, that she ran into the city and called almost the whole city to say, come see a man that told me everything I did. Is not this the Christ? So we can see that just having the knowledge of Jesus as a prophet, as a teacher, is not going to profit anything. What changes our life is the knowledge of Christ that we have in us. So now let's look at who Christ is. The word Christ comes from a Greek word, Christos, and it means the anointed one, which also translates to the Hebrew word Messiah. So for us to understand Jesus as the anointed one and Messiah, we have to go back to the Old Testament to see what it means to be anointed. So if we go back to the Old Testament, we're going to realize that when God picks someone for a particular purpose, oil will be poured over the person to show that this person is anointed for this particular purpose, maybe to be a prophet, a priest, or a king. For instance, David was anointed as king. And when Prophet Samuel went to anoint David, when he got there, God only told him to go to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that he's going to pick one of his sons as a king. And when he got there, he saw the first one that came was Eliab. And Eliab was good looking and very tall. And Samuel said, of a truth, this is the one that God has chosen. And God said, no, he has rejected him. Because God doesn't look at our physical appearance, but our hearts when he wants to pick someone for a particular purpose. So we can see that God is the one that goes in search of someone, and then he anoints the person to carry out a particular assignment. And later we are going to see that later in the book of Psalms, the Bible says that I have found my servant David, and with my holy oil have I anointed him. So we can see that God was the one that went in search and found him. So with this understanding now, different anointed people in the Old Testament began to prophesy about someone who is an ultimate anointed one that is superior to everyone that God has anointed in the Old Testament. And we can see in Isaiah chapter 42, this is the prophecy of Isaiah of this anointed one that different people prophesied about. It tells us of a servant of the Lord, a chosen and gentle figure, anointed with God's Spirit to bring justice, act as a light to nation, open blind eyes, and establish a new covenant. And even in Acts chapter 61, we are going to see another prophecy about Jesus, which Jesus will later read in the New Testament and say, today is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes. So different anointed one, Moses, David himself, God promised him that this anointed one is going to come through his lineage. And Micah prophesied, Jeremiah prophesied about this anointed one. And so they waited generation after generation for this anointed one until we get to the New Testament, which begins with the announcement of this anointed one that God has chosen to establish God's kingdom here on earth. So, Matthew chapter 1 verse 1, it says, the record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So we can see that it's an announcement that Jesus is the Messiah. And remember I said it comes from the Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, which means Messiah, and also translates as anointed one. So now Jesus is now announcing that Jesus is now the anointed one that God has chosen to establish God's kingdom and to bring salvation to his people. And there are other places in the New Testament that declares Jesus as Christ. For instance, when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say I am? And Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. But one of the announcements of Jesus as Christ that I find very important is that of John the Baptist. Because it publicly revealed it was a public announcement of who Jesus is as Christ that has come to deliver the world from sins. So when we can see in John chapter 1 verse 29, it says, let me read John chapter 1 verse 29. The next day, Jesus seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So this was a public announcement that this Jesus is the one God has anointed to come and take the sin of the world. And later in Acts of Apostles, we are going to see where Peter says that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's to say, salvation can only be obtained through Jesus Christ. Many times, people try to work for their own salvation. They do things on their own to earn salvation. But whatever it is that you decide to do for your own salvation, it's not going to work, because God has already anointed Jesus to be the one to save us from our sins. And Jesus Christ himself says that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me." And it's so funny that they waited so long for Jesus, and I was expecting them to embrace the ministry of Jesus. But no, instead they went ahead to kill him. But, you know, the death was, it's not just a waste that they killed him, that's the end. That's Jesus Christ taking our place. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's Jesus Christ taking your place in sin, which is supposed to lead to death. That's Jesus Christ taking your place, standing there for you. So, and for God to show that Jesus is the one that he has anointed, he backed his ministry with so much signs and wonders. And so we can see that in John chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, where Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a Jewish ruler, came to Jesus and he said that, let me find the scripture. And then he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." So there were so many teachers during the time of Jesus, but none could do the kind of things that Jesus did. That was God backing his ministry to say, "This one is anointed to take away the sins of the world." Therefore, Christ is the one chosen by God to pay the sacrifice for sin, making him the only mediator between God and mankind. The fallen relationship between man, that sin, there was a good relationship between God and man in the Garden of Eden, but sin caused a separation. So Jesus Christ is the only one that can come, can go between fallen man and perfect God to restore that relationship. So now, with all this, we've seen who Christ is. I want to ask now, who is a Christian? And I'll go to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. I'm going to read 1, and I'll just pick some scriptures there. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken to heaven." I will just jump to verse 3. "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." So even after Jesus was killed, after he resurrected on the third day, he did not stop his ministry. He kept appearing to the disciples for the period of 40 days, still teaching them the things about the kingdom of God with infallible proofs. So the disciples went on after these 40 days to teach everything that Jesus Christ has taught them. They went on preaching and teaching people. And the focus of their message was Christ. We can see this Acts chapter 2 verse 36, where Peter preached Christ. And we'll see Philip preach Christ Apostle Paul gave testimony about Jesus Christ. They just went about preaching Christ. Their focus was the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the teachings about Jesus, everything that Jesus came to accomplish here on earth. And the disciples of the apostles went on to make disciples, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So the ministry of Jesus did not end after Jesus Christ left the earth to go to heaven. It continued with the apostles, and the apostles made disciples. And just like that, we've been drawn into this kingdom, and we've been made disciples. So we are the followers of Jesus. We follow the teachings of Jesus. So we are Christians. So, and just the same way God backed the ministry of Jesus with signs and wonder to differentiate him from other teachers, to say, this one is my servant, to carry out the mission of remission of sins. That is how Jesus also backed our own ministry of going about preaching the word with signs and wonder. So I'm going to read from the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 17 to 18. It says, He who believed in me and has been baptized will be saved from the penalty of God's wrath and judgment. But he who has believed not will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will get well. And if we look at the lives of the apostles, everywhere they went preaching Christ, there was deliverances, there was healings, and there was a place in Acts of the Apostles where a snake bit Apostle Paul, and they thought that he was going to die from the snake bite. It never had any effect on him. That was Jesus' way of backing the ministry of the apostles. And as Christians, that is how our ministry is backed up with signs and wonders. But it's not an automatic thing, because if we look at Acts of the Apostles, behind the Acts, they had a culture which they practiced. If we look at Acts of the Apostles, we find that they gave themselves to prayer, Bible study, and fasting. So, in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, I'll just quickly go to Acts chapter 6, verse 4. It says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So we can see that the apostles, they had a culture of constantly praying. They were praying. Even when they had division amongst the early Christians, Apostle Peter said they are not going to allow themselves to be distracted, that they are going to select some deacons who are going to take care of those things like that, so that they will not be distracted from praying and studying the word. And as they study the word, that's how they spent so much time teaching the word to the early Christians. And that's how God was able to back their ministry with so much signs and wonders. So there's so much power in prayer. There's so much power in fellowshipping together, in eating together, which because of time, I'm not going to go into reading it. And there's also fasting. The apostles, they spent time fasting. One thing fasting will help you to do as a Christian is to kill the flesh. For instance, recently I said to myself that I haven't fasted in a long time. Let me give myself to fasting. And that day, all I could think of was my cup of tea, which I begin my day with. I'm trying to study the Bible, and I was distracted, like, oh, my cup of tea. And I've now said to myself, see what has happened to me just this little time I haven't fasted. And over time, when I kept giving myself to fasting and prayer, I just skip breakfast to study the word, I now noticed that I started getting used to it, that No more was I so bothered about what I want to eat this, I want to eat that. It helps you to kill the flesh. You will wonder why the apostles were able to come to a point where they could give their lives up for the sake of Christ. They've been able to kill their flesh daily, but I know not everyone can fast for health reasons, and some people for because of old age. So I'm just going to conclude here, because my time is up. I'm just going to conclude to say, before we pray, there's so much that is embedded in Christ. There's so many possibilities for us as Christians, but it's still possible that we are not going to achieve those possibilities. For instance, John that baptized Jesus, John the Baptist, some people came to Jesus and they said, John the Baptist did not perform so many miracles, but everything he told us about this man is true. Because in the prophecy of John the Baptist, he was to come with the power of Isaiah, and Isaiah performed so many great miracles. But John the Baptist did not perform miracles. Was it because it's not part of his ministry? It was part of it, but he did not achieve it. So as Christians, there are so many possibilities that we have in Christ that we might never come to. We might never experience it, like speaking in tongues, the use of our spiritual gifts, performing miracles when we go to preach. There are so many people that will never believe in anything about Jesus, no matter what you tell them about Jesus, except they see you do something that is different. For instance, there's this man of God in my country. He was interviewed. He's a holiness preacher. And they now asked him a question. The interviewer was like, how do I know that what you are saying is true, that miracles are true? He tried his best to explain it, and she couldn't understand. It didn't make any sense to her. Then he asked her, are you sick? Do you have pain or something anywhere? She said, yes. He said, okay, lay your hands there. He prayed for her, and she got healed instantly. No argument. The power of Jesus is real. There's so much we can achieve with Jesus, but I pray that we'll not end our Christian life with people saying, but you say they will cast out demons, they will heal the sick, they will raise the dead, and we didn't fulfill that part of the prophecy. They will speak in new tongues. Can we bow our heads as we pray? The Bible says that as he is, that's how we are. As Jesus is here on earth, that's how we are. As Christians, we are followers of Christ, and he has given us power to do everything that he did. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for your word that we've heard today. Father in heaven, we ask that this word will bear fruits in our hearts, that it will stir up hunger, desire to want to know more about it, to want to explore all the possibilities that we have in Christ. Father, we ask that you do this and take all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.